But even though we're still believing for this coming year, there's still some miracles yet to come. And some people have been somewhat discouraged, and we always have that. When we're waiting on the move of God, we sometimes get discouraged because it hasn't happened yet. But it's going to be happening. And so today we're going to be talking about discouragement, because this is the last attempt, and discouragement is, before the miracles come. Satan will always do it, and we're going to see it in Scripture, but believers should be encouraged people. They should be people that know where they're going. They should be people that actually understand the relationship with the Father, like David is talking about, the covenant relationship. We can get a hold of that, then you can move across this nation in a most powerful way. You can, as individuals, you can have relationships with the Father where you know that you're not going to get sick. You know, we've got a commercial on radio station that just really bugs me. It's a cancer commercial. And that really bugs me. It's a feed that we have to take. We have to run their commercial. But it bothers me because we don't have to have cancer. We don't have to have those problems that the world says is ours. You know, the world says 1 out of 4 is going to have this, or 1 out of 6, or 1 out of 10 people is going to be mugged this year. You know, we don't have to have it. We don't have to have that trauma in our life. But we have to know our covenants, and so we have to stand on it. But when we know them, what the Word says, and it's very simple to have faith, all you have to do is believe God's Word. Amen. It can't get any simpler. I always thought, what is faith? Someone would say, what is, you know, faith? I don't know. You know, it's real simple. So simple, I missed it for a number of years. All you have to do is just believe God. If God says that you don't have to worry about the enemy, then you don't worry about it. So we should be the ones that be carrying the message across our community. We should be the ones that are encouraged. But those are the ones, literally, that have been targeted by Satan. Satan comes on in us, and he tries to discourage us. He tries to give it up. He tries to say, oh, look, this stuff doesn't work. Why believe God? But how many of you know what a breakthrough is? Do you know what a breakthrough is? Breakthrough is when we come to the end of our ability. That's when we say, Lord, if it doesn't come through, then I don't know what to do. Because it's in men, I can't tell you how women think, but I can tell you how most men think. We try to fix it as long as we can. You know, we try to do it ourselves, and we try to look at it way and to make it work. And that's noble in a sense, but it's not in the fact that we need to trust God to do it. And you know, God give me the wisdom to help do it. Give me the ability, give me the understanding. And God, it's going to be you that does it for me. But we kind of get it all out of kilter, and we're not going to go into that. But breakthrough comes is when we understand it, if it's going to work, it has to be God. And then it will work. It's when we come to the end of our ability and we pray, God, I need your help. So many men cannot do that. They cannot ask God for help. They just say, God, I feel like I'd be less than a man if I let down. And so they just keep on keeping on. And God, perfect gentleman, he'll wait. And he said, hey, I'll just wait till you're ready to ask me. And then I'll help you. See? He doesn't push himself in on us. He doesn't say, well, you step aside, son. I'll do it for you. He just waits till we ask him, and then he does it. But I've heard all the promises in the Bible and practically, and you have too. And we've heard all the prophecies, and we say, oh, this is great. You know, this is going to be a phenomenal year, but it's not right yet. And this is what I want to get a hold of today. The enemy will tell you it's not going to work. There's nothing going to be any changes in your life. It's going to be the same today, tomorrow, and forever. It's always going to be a downhill deal. It's all in vain that you're believing God for something, because it just won't work. And I want to tell you something that's very interesting, and some of you might not know, and I've told it before, so forgive me for the ones I've told, but ever since I've been in the ministry, I have given back to the people whatever they have given to me to marry them. You know, they give me a little envelope usually, and that's, society says that's what you're supposed to do, but they'll hand me an envelope, and I never open it, but I wait till after the wedding, and then I'll hand it back to them. And I said, now I always tell the husband, I said, now I want you to take your bride someplace frivolous, you know, someplace that you just wouldn't have the money to do, because I don't know what's in this envelope, but the point is, you got enough money to probably do something frivolous now, see, because you didn't know you was going to have it. Oh boy, he usually glistens, and I don't know how many times he takes his bride out, but anyway, hopefully he is. But every time I've done it, I always say when I get home, I said, Lord, I've done it as unto you today. And I would love someday to have a frivolous trip. About 18 years or longer went by. And the last wedding Peg Joyce and I Tenant is out of town. We paid all of her expenses and travel and so forth, and it was a blowout of a wedding. I mean, it was one of those country club jobs, you know. And so I saw this envelope, and I just knew that I knew this would be my frivolous trip, you know. And so, but Lord, I'm going to give this in seed, just like Dave was talking about, scattering seed. So I gave it back to him. And I said, look, I want you to take your wife some frivolous thing. So nothing happened for a few months. But then a couple called us and said, we want to give you a frivolous trip on the Amtrak. And they gave us a 3-week trip, all expenses paid. They even give us expense money. Folks, I want to tell you something. It eventually happens. But the devil always try to talk you out of it. He'll always say, you just are believing in vain. You know, this thing's not going to change. It's never going to get better. Your old husband's never going to change. You know, and you look at him and he hasn't done much. You know, I'll grant you. But one day, suddenly, God will come on the scene. And that hard-headed, knucklehead, ignorant old boy will change. And he'll be the sweetest lover you've ever met. But don't give up. See? But I'm so, you know, tired of waiting, some people say. I've just stood and stood and stood so long. I've been believing and I'm so discouraged. And all I have to admit, this building program and this radio station has been strenuous on me. I'm a one project person, and I like to get over one project and then we start on another. But we got about 6 projects going, and I just can't even think what to do for the moment sometimes. It just scrambles on me, you know. And so I would say, you know, man, Lord, this will be great when this project gets over, or when this building program gets over, then it'll be peaceful. But I want to tell you something about God. It's never dull time with God. He'll move you from one project to another. And you just soon get prepared for it, because just as soon as you learn how to stand in faith for this little Mickey Mouse radio station, maybe, you know, in the world it cost you $150,000 minimum to build it. When you stand and believe God for that, then someday he's going to have you building TV stations. But what I'm telling you is, he's not going to say, well, now you got that thing completed, now you can rest. It's never going to be a rest. There's not ever going to be a slack time. So what do? You learn to handle discouragement. And I'm having to learn it myself. I said, I hate to tell you, but we got to buy a receiver that takes in Channel 6 on the weather. They have special alert messages and our new EAS equipment. We just spent $2,000-$3,000 on that stuff the other day. Bought it back of last year, 95 or 96 last year, and bought the stuff, and they said, this is it. This will work. And then none of it works. The government didn't go that direction. We bought $1,800 worth of stuff we didn't need. It was legal for a while, but they didn't stick with her what they said they was going to do. So what I'm telling you is, you can be loaded with discouragement. Or you can shake it off, like a water off his duck backs. You know, I don't know if you ever had a duck, but you can squirt water on that old duck's back and it'll roll up and it'll literally roll off his back. See, that's what we need to do. So many times when the pressure seems toughest, that's just the time, though, that the miracles start breaking through. You know, just about time we're ready to give up and say, well, you know, must not have been God for this project. You know, this one we look at. We have a sister church over at San Angelo. He applied for a license for his station way before we did. All of us went over there to see him. He applied for it, and he still hasn't got it. We applied for it, and we got it instantly. You know, what I'm telling you is, God works mysteriously. I don't know why. And Dr. Cho in Korea, he applied for a license for his radio station over there, built a tower, built everything, never did get the thing. And when we was waiting on KPSM, the first station, I'd be praying. I said, God, you know, we put our license application in. Now, we need our license. And the devil say, Dr. Cho didn't get his. Who do you think you are? He's a man of God, and you're not. You know, I mean, he always lying to you. But there is always a breakthrough. So we're going to look in the story of Mary Magdalene today in chapter 20 of John. You may turn there, but it's about Mary. Mary had watched Jesus being crucified. She had seen all hope gone. You know, she had been following him for 3.5 years, and I mean, she was there on every breakthrough that Jesus had. She was there when the 5,000 got fed. She was there when the blind eyes got to see. And she had been there. But also Mary had seen Jesus being taken into Sanhedrin court, kangaroo court, if I should, you know. In other words, he was guilty whether he was innocent or not. See, he was just tried because it's already rigged. So she saw that. She saw how they unmercifully put a crown of thorns on his head and just jammed him in. I can get one mesquite thorn and I am miserable, and I can imagine what would be like six or eight of them around your head, minimum, you know, and you couldn't reach up and move it, you know. You just had to stake that pain, you know. They didn't put that thing on with ease and just let it sit down there, just like it, see. They saw that, she saw them drive nails into his hand. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but I want you to know the price that Jesus paid this morning. He didn't pay just, let's put some anesthesia on me and it'll keep this pain from hurt. Folks, they didn't care about the pain on Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. So she saw his agony in his face, and she saw how they stuck a spear into his body, but he'd already died, see. So she knew he was dead, and she heard the words when he said, "It's finished, it's all over." So she had seen all this stuff happening in a period of about 3 days. I mean, just all this evil came in. But Mary Magdalene was a very unique woman. She was a woman that was involved in a lot of unrighteousness. She was a woman in the Bible that seven demons were cast out. That Jesus cast out seven demons out of her. And when she got free, she was a full-time follower of Jesus then. She didn't just go back home. She started following Jesus. Now, I want you keeping this in mind, because I want you to see the relationship she had to Jesus. He wasn't just a popular preacher of the day that she followed. He was her Lord and her God. And to see him die, you can imagine how she felt after seeing all these miracles that he had done. Leper's cleanse, the blind eyes. And she was standing there by the guy, and his eyes, he started ecstatically jumping up and saying, "I can see, I can see." Angie was in the Philippines, and a little child, or a lady, wasn't it? A man, I missed it all. A man had his eyes, and he was speaking in Tagalog, and he was so excited. And what he was telling him, "I can see, I can see." So when you have that happening, that's a euphoria that you can just soar on. When you get into a move of God like that, wow, what it does to you. To see the people that come up, the guy with the 2,000 demons, Legion, I couldn't think of his name. You know, I was talking to a lady yesterday evening. She came in. I said, it's interesting. A lot of people get real upset because God sent the demons into the hogs. And the people say, I don't understand why the farmer lost his 2,000 head of hogs. Well, folks, the Jew was not supposed to have hogs in the first place. That was abomination. See, pork is not, to a Jewish person, godly. So the Jew farmer should never have had him to begin with. And so that's why the demon said, "Let us go into the hogs." It's all right with Jesus because there's a wrong. See, but anyway, she went from the height of glory to the pits of despair in this thing. I'm sure she did. He'd been killed, he'd been buried in a tomb, and then they sealed the door by rolling that big stone over it. It's a humongous stone. We saw the tracks where they rolled it. And I don't know how big a stone it was, but the tracks were about this wide, about yay wide. So you imagine a stone that big and that round, because the door was big enough that you didn't have to bend much to go into it. It was a good 5 foot, so the stone was at least 6 foot. Tremendous stone. And of course they sealed it some way. So it's sealed shut. And I would guess that Mary Magdalene's move of God was sealed shut that day when she looked at it. Have you ever felt like that's happened in your life? That move of God was just going so good in your life? Oh man, it wasn't roses. I mean, it's going, and then all at once, disaster hits and devastation's everywhere. We've had those things happen to us. There's times when it looks like a move of God just died in our life, that it's over there in the tomb somehow. But why don't you be excited this morning, because there's Resurrection Sunday. And this is what we all have to look to. So I paint you some picture here, because I want you to overcome discouragement. This is what I want you to see. All the way through this story, I want you to see how she overcome discouragement and how God honored her. So we're in chapter 20, verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark." Now that tells you something about her. It describes what she is looking at. She came to a tomb early in the morning to see him being laid there dead. It was still dark. I think it's amazing. It was right after Sabbath. So it tells us about her determination to be. This is a key point in overcoming discouragement and achieving a breakthrough in the move of God. When it looks like things are not going right, you still get up early and you still go to where God is. See, you don't run from God. You don't go hiding. Adam and Eve went and hid. She ran to where she knew Jesus was. You cannot back off from going with God. You have to run even though it looks like it's all spiritually dead. But she just got up early. You know, for some people, all it takes is a little bit of discouragement. And first thing you know, you don't see them in church. Our church would be 3 services a Sunday if we had all the people in here that the devil had hit that ran from God. You know, you go out in the streets and you talk to people, Bejos and all of us, a bunch of us knocked on 7,000 doors here in Brownwood and inviting people to church a number of years ago before we even got the radio station. And the Lord honored us because we literally knocked on 7,000 doors. And I appreciate each and every person. But the interesting thing was that, oh yeah, we used to go to church. Honey, what was the name of that church we went to? You know, is that far away those people were? And yet they used to have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, yes, I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 6 years old or whatever. But the point is, it's ridiculous for us to allow discouragement to run us away from the church. Amen? Amen. The point would be, if you were run over in the street by a car, and you're laying there all broken up and blood coming out of you, and you're all laying out there on the highway, and the guy says, don't worry, buddy, the ambulance is on the way. And you say, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to go to the hospital. That's where people get healed. You'd think the car ran over his head. But church people seemingly say, well, I understand. I understand. No, I don't understand. Why don't you be in church and get over that discouragement? See, get in the move of God and things will change in your life. Don't let Satan keep you out of the church. If you're that discouraged, you need to grab yourself by the back of the neck and get yourself in here. You know. If you don't, it's all over. But if you do it, God will honor it. And you're going to see that here in this story this morning. You're going to see God honoring a woman's faith. Nothing had changed when she went to the tomb in dark hours of the morning. So the church is a place for discouraged people. Amen? It's a hospital. It's not that we don't have any problems. Sure, we got problems, but we know the answer. We're in the presence of the great physician. We need to understand that. We got to understand that he is a great physician. He is the master of correcting all of our problems. But we've got to hand it to him. You can imagine what the devil must have been saying to Mary as she was going there that morning. Why are you going down to a tomb? Jesus is dead. He's stiff by now. You know, you need to go back to your way of life. This thing was too good to be true. You know, I'm sure Jesus fed them all. You know, all the followers, he took care of them. They didn't starve. You know, they weren't passing out and falling back as he kept walking. He fed them. And I'm sure, you know, not only was this move of God coming to an end, but her source of finances for that period of time came to an end. She had had a terrible lifestyle, and so I'm sure the devil said, well, why don't you go back to it? You know, at least you had a steady income. Whatever. I don't know what, but I don't want to tell you something. I'm sure he was working on her mind big time going to that tomb that morning. But Mary didn't listen to any of that, thank God. She knew that she had had to go to the place, the last place that she saw Jesus. Every one of us do. When I get discouraged, a bunch of y'all do, when you get discouraged and you think you're not hearing God, you go back to the last place that you did hear God. And it did work out. That is one of the biggest keys to a Christian life. If you'd get beat down, you go back to where you heard God the last time. And when you go back to that tree that you sat under and you heard God, then you know that I can hear God then and I can hear him now. And he will speak to you then and he'll speak to you now. But you've got to move back to that last place. That's what will set you free. That's what will give you encouragement. It's a point of contact that you need. I've got a place out there in the country there that I go to when I get concerned that I'm not hearing correctly or I'm not hearing anything. And I go to that place because I know that's where God spoke to me last time, and he's no respecter of time and place. He'll speak to me again. So that's what I want you to understand. That's what Mary did. She went to the last place where she saw Jesus. And because Mary was willing to go and trust God, God allowed her to see into the supernatural. And that's what I was wanting us to see this morning. Let's go back to verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. What happened? Stone was gone. Is that an answer? No. She looked in there and he was not there. The Bible said she ran to the disciples. Let's keep on, verse 2. And so she ran, underline ran. I want you to mark your Bible. Let's go back in first verse. Underline early. That's an important key to get overcoming discouragement. While it's still dark, underline still dark. Okay, then verse 2. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away my Lord. Isn't that interesting? See, the Bible said she ran to them. Why did she run to them? Because she wanted to know what happened. See, you and I would, if we saw a tomb empty and we saw a stone rolled away, we wouldn't stay there. My. Isn't that something? So she ran to the disciples. And what did they tell her? Now, Mary, we understand that Jesus rose from dead. You know, he told us a few weeks ago that he was going to rise from the dead and he would not be in the tomb. They didn't tell her anything. That's why I want you to understand. I'm making this up. They didn't tell her anything. They didn't understand it either. So the point is this. When you have something happening to you in your life, you can run to a minister, but you might get real discouraged over what he has to say because he doesn't know the answer either. I've had people come in my office, and I hate to say it, but I don't know what's happening in their life. God didn't revealed it to me. I used to call Jacob Curran. You've heard me tell it before. I'd call him, and he said, greater the fire, the greater the ministry. And that made me mad, so I wouldn't call him anymore. But I'm telling you, every one of us have gone to someone, and they have disappointed us. We've gone to our friends and said, oh, I'm hurting. And they can't do anything about it. We want them to say, oh, you poor little thing. I understand what you're going through. We just love you. We hug you and we do all that stuff. No, they didn't do anything. But you probably got a problem. I'm telling you, folks, you just can't go to someone for an answer. This is what I finally learned now, this whole deal. You got to go to the source who has the answer. Amen. And it's God. No man has an answer to this thing. They don't know what happened. Obviously, something supernatural had happened. Yet, disciples didn't hang around to see if anything else was happening. I want you to look at verse 10. I think it's interesting. The disciples went away to their own house. Isn't that interesting? They went away to their own house. Underline that, to their own house. Now, so you can see all emotions in this thing. You can see the stress and pressure. Look at verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Boy, I would be too. Man, I went to Peter and John, and they didn't help me at all. And I mean, Jesus is gone. They didn't know what happened. And she stood as long as she could stand it. And have you ever stood so long, and then all at once you just, your tears and emotions just come out of you? I think we all been there. We don't know what happened. But I want you to know something. She stayed at the tomb. She didn't go back with the disciples. That tells you something about Mary. She stayed at the last place that she saw Jesus. The last place she had a conversation with him. When we're real close to the move of God, we gotta be in his presence. She didn't have any idea what she was gonna do next, but she stayed there. She stayed there at the tomb. She didn't run, she didn't do anything else. She stayed there, she's weeping. But the move of God had been started in her heart. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. The move of God had been started in her heart. And all she knew that she wanted to be where Jesus is. Dead or alive, she wanted to be with him. Every person today is responsible for their move of God. I want to tell you something. The move of God is not going to come in from the outside and take you over. It's going to be from inside, go out. You cannot get the move of God from the outside in. All the bells and whistles and the singing and praises and stuff like that is not going to start a revival in you. You have to ask God to start the revival inside of you, and then it will ignite the fire. I want to give you an example of that. Remember in Acts 10 where Cornelius had been praying? The Bible says he'd been praying. He's a Gentile. If it hadn't been for Cornelius, I don't know how the Gentiles would have got drafted in like David's talking about. But Cornelius had been praying. He had been giving alms to the Lord. And it said it had come up before the Lord. And so God put on Peter to go talk to Cornelius. Remember that? And when he got there, Cornelius had a bunch of, you know, if you're building a fire in Boy Scouts, you got a bunch of little sticks and straws and little pieces of wood and bigger pieces of wood and stuff like that. And he had it all prepared. And so when Peter came there, it lit the fire, see? And it exploded, and it went all across the country then. But Cornelius had prepared his heart for Peter's coming. You have to think about that. We, too, have to prepare our heart for the move of God. And this is what we're working at. Every day I'm working at it with y'all and with myself, you know. The same with Mary. Mary had her heart prepared for seeing something that morning, or she wouldn't have got up early. She was expecting God to come in on the scene that morning. Didn't look like it happened. Look at verse 11 again. And she wept. She stooped and looked into the tomb. Now that's pretty gutsy. Have you ever thought about that? It's pretty gutsy to look into the tomb. She's going to make one more look of faith. When everyone else had given up, when everyone else went home, she was going to look one more time. Folks, that tells you a lot about Mary. She is a powerhouse of faith. We can learn from her. At this time, she looked and she saw into the spirit realm, into the supernatural realm. I want you to look at verse 12. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Christ had been lying. I want you to understand that. She saw two angels. I think they were there when the disciples came. When Peter and John was there, I think they had been sitting there all along. But the point was, she saw into the spiritual realm. You remember Elijah, when the enemies was all circling around and his servant came in, I taught it a couple of Sundays ago, and the man, you know, it looked bad because they was coming to get him because Elijah was telling the king of Israel what was going on, and it didn't look good. The servant said, "Oh, look out there. The city is encircled by the enemy." And Elijah said to him, says, "You know, there's more with us than with them." And then he said, "Lord, open his eyes that he can see in the supernatural." And the servant looked out there and saw chariots of fire. You remember that? Okay. What I'm telling you is, folks, we need to ask God to open our eyes into the spiritual realm. It's available to us. If Elijah prayed and asked God to open his servant's eyes, then it's available to us. Okay? If God will reveal himself to Mary, he will reveal himself to us. And Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." He says, "I see my Father doing." There is a principle here that we need to understand. We're moving on "I hear" from God. But there's a whole realm that we haven't even gotten into, and that's seeing what the Father is doing. When Jesus said, "I don't do what I see the Father doing." This is important that we start letting this grow in us. Disciples, they went home. They looked one time, went home. Look at verse 12. And she beheld two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. Okay. Right in the midst of discouragement, right in the midst of everything that has gone wrong, weighing you down, if you continue to say, "I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back off this thing. I'm going to keep right on looking into the tomb that has nothing in it, that has nothing going for it." If you make those kind of determinations and be patient, your eyes are going to see in the supernatural realm. But it's when we give up. "Oh, I don't know. This is kind of hard." You know, where Jesus is where the anointing is. And there are angels there. Down Tommy Birchfield's camp back in the summer, the kids came home and six or eight kids stood up and they said, "We saw angels up on the platform." And the little kids, they don't lie. And they said, "He's all in white." All six of them said, "He's all in white." They all saw the same thing, what I'm telling you. We might need to get as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. Oh man, you tell me we're going to see into the spiritual realm? That's spooky. Well, you're not going to see it, buddy, if you're not wanting it. But if you want it, it's available. Amen. And I want everything that God has for us. Amen. I don't want just a few things. Verse 13, and they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Ain't that that's a real greeting there. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Okay? That's what the Lord's saying to us though, day. Man, what's wrong with you? Why are you weeping? Why are you discouraged over the building projects? Why are you discouraged over the radio project? Why are you discouraged over your finances at home? Why are you discouraged over the cow that ran off? Or why are you discouraged over whatever? Man, what is wrong with you? That's what I wonder sometimes. Why do I let that kind of stuff bother me? I'm getting better at it. But I want to tell you something. It had worked on me a number of years, and Satan has restored the years that cankerworm ate, in my case. But we just let discouragement come in. Jesus hasn't lost one single bit of his authority, folks, just because he died and went to heaven. He is still powerful. He is still the most anointed one. He is still the King of Kings. He is still Lord of Lords. He is everything, and he has given us that authority. We need to understand we can have the power of God Almighty in us if we'll take it. But so many people say, "Well, you know, I'll try. And, you know, I don't know if I can do it or not." You know, if we do that, we're not going to have it. We're going to have to say, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk."
Amen.
You know, we probably do that, but, you know. But I want to tell you something. It's available to us. The protection is available to us. I don't like to tell this story, but I want to tell you something that happened yesterday. Paige Joseph, she prayed for my protection yesterday, and I thought, isn't that sweet? Made her feel good. We had an old cow that's down, and so it took me 2 days to find her, and she's down in the creek bed. And so I got off the tractor, and had a fellow that was with me. And so that old cow, she was just sitting down there, and she goes, "Well, come find out she has pneumonia." She had had a calf and lost a calf, and I hadn't been keeping up with the cows recently. And so she was down in this creek bed, and so I needed her up on the side of the hill to even get to her with a trailer. So I kind of motivated her. And after I motivated her, she stood up, looked like she was going to fall over. And I was standing there looking at her, and I was thinking, how are we going to get her up that hill? And all at once, that old gal, she came after me, and next thing I knew, I was looking up at her. I was laying on my back looking up. And her face is right in my face. Now, I don't know if you ever had cow snot in your face, but that's something else. She's breathing right in my face and looking at me, and I thought, 1,200 pounds above me, and I'm laying here on my back, and then I remember Perry Joyce praying, and I don't have a bruise at all. I'm in good shape. See? Sure got my attention. What I'm telling you is, folks, we don't have to give up and say, "Well, I'm going to have a broken leg out of that deal. You know, I'm going to have it." No, we're not going to have that. You know, we're not going to have sickness. The devil might try it on you, but you're not going to have it.
Amen.
Unless you take it.
Amen.
And I don't want it, and I'm not going to take it. Neither are you. So what I'm telling you is this morning, we have dominion and authority over this world. God wants us to quit looking at the situation as a problem. Hear me. God wants us to quit looking at a problem as a problem. What we're going through now is a future testimony. See? Once you get on the other side of it, you can look back and laugh at that cow. See? Wasn't so funny down there looking up, you know. But I want to tell you something. There is a testimony out here, verse 13. And they said to her, the two angels, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, that's interesting. Verse 14. When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. I want you understand some. When you're crying so hard, so long, I think everything she saw was blurred. That's my opinion. You can think on it. But Jesus was not the same as he was when he fed the 5,000, when she remembered him doing the miracles. He is now in his resurrected body. See? He is no longer the Son of Man. He is now the Son of God. He is now taking back his deity. course, he tells her, Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Verse 15, "Whom are you seeking?" And verse 17 is what I was looking for. He said, Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." See, he's saying there's more yet to come. But the point is, there's so much more to God than we've ever experienced if we will hang in there. If we allow discouragement to become part of us, though, we'll never see the move of God. We're going to have a revelation of the risen Christ to see the move of God. He overcame both death and the grave. I mean, there's no problem that we're facing if we understand that God is greater than the problems we're looking at. It's when we look at our problems and say, they're bigger than God. No, they're not. God is bigger than our problems. Verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Isn't that interesting? Here's an ex-prostitute. Someone used to be possessed by seven demons. A woman is not yet even born again, because that had not started yet. But she loved Jesus, and she loved the move of God, and she was willing to do everything she knew to do. And she said, "I will take him." Even though the move of God was dead, is all over with, she said, "I will take him." Isn't that interesting? I love a gutsy woman. Can you imagine? I don't think she's probably, I always vision her about the size of Connie back here. I don't think she's a big woman. I think she's a little gal, but she said, "I'll take him. I'll carry him to where he needs to be." See, I want to tell you something. You get a person that's an old reprobate sinner, real tough old dude, you get him turned around and going with God, and he's the most powerhouse person you ever met in your life. Yeah. See? And another thing she had going for him, to him much is forgiven, much is loved. That little gal knew that she was forgiven much, and she loveth much, because her whole hope was in Jesus. That's what made the difference. And she wasn't backing off. She said, "I'll take him." It didn't matter if she's dead or alive. You know, she said, I'll get him taken care of. And God saw her faith, and he moved in on the scene with compassion. Her faith opened things up for her. No one else did, none of the 12 or 11. Now, the most amazing thing about this whole story is, why would Jesus, on his trip from the grave to heaven, stop off and talk to an ex-prostitute? Does it not show you the value of someone's faith? See, she knew without a doubt that she wouldn't be with Jesus. She came early that morning, she proved it. She went back and looked second time. She looked at all the things to make this thing work, and God honored it. He honored her faith. It looked like it's all over with. But if you really would think about it, it looked like all the work that Jesus is doing now, you know, you've got to realize he went down and he led the captives free. He pulled up all the saints. They were on the way to heaven. I mean, a whole bunch of excitement was going on in the spiritual realm, and yet God stopped for Mary. This is what I want us to understand today. If he'd stopped for Mary, and I don't care what you've done in life, her life was pretty rough, so you qualify, same level, you know. If he'd do it for her, he'll do it for you. See, but the full cycle hadn't been completed. Look at verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." See, Jesus is on his way to the Father, and yet he stopped off and talked to her at the tomb, at the place where she was. Jesus interrupted his trip to heaven just so he could talk to Mary. Now, this is awesome. When you get a hold of this, this builds a fire in us that there's something more that we can have if we will just do our part. She didn't back off. She didn't care what it looked like. If she was the only one that drug him around, she was going to be there. She didn't care if she was discouraged and weeping. She got to see the move of God. And this is what she's excited about. She said, "Tell me where they have taken him, and I'll go and take him away." Obviously, all by herself. Amazing. I thought about that. All by herself. But she had been talking to Jesus the whole time. In verse 16, he says to her, "Mary." See? Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. But there is the whole difference. Now we're seeing how everything changed. Jesus can speak one word to you and all your problems will melt. This is the thing. You can be as loaded with problems as any person on this earth, and Jesus can say, daughter, son, don't worry. And all at once, those problems don't mean a thing in the world to you. They didn't mean a thing to her from there on. See, what about her future? What about her life? What about all this? He's leaving her and all that stuff. It didn't matter. He said, Mary. Folks, Mary knew his voice and excited her. You might not be able to recognize the godly things that are going on in your life right now. It might look pretty dark. It might be pretty rough out there. But if you'll hang in there, you can hear his voice tell you, son, hang in there. This too shall pass away. See? When Jesus spoke to Mary, the discouragement was gone. All the lights came back on. She got in on the ground floor, a move of God. She had something, you know, disciples didn't have. God could have told disciples, or told her, go back to the disciples. I'm going to come back to you this evening, or she could have gone with them. But she stayed there, and Jesus gave her his presence there. But you know, so many people go home spiritually. Disciples did. They didn't stay around. So many people give up and say, you know, I guess it's for somebody else. All this faith stuff, you know, I don't understand it. It just doesn't work in my life. But Mary stood there. She didn't throw away her confidence. In Hebrew 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence. Someone had a vision not too awful long ago, and the vision showed just trash cans all over the place, and it was all filled with confidence. And God spoke to the person and said, these trash cans should be filled with the worries and cares of this world. You should keep your confidence. You know, one of the sad things about it, we keep the bad things and throw away the good. You know, we do that way, way too much. But notice, right at the point of Mary giving up, looking one more time into a tomb, you see Jesus coming on the scene. I think he's there a lot more than we realize. But the point is, one more look opened her eyes spiritually. One more time for us. We might be going around the walls of Jericho. I don't know if you're on the sixth trip around. You could be on the sixth. You could be on the third trip. Point is, on the seventh trip, the walls came tumbling down. When we continue in faith, and it doesn't matter how things look like in our life, to be in the middle of a move of God, we have to work it out individually. We can't work it out as a family. We can't work it out as a church. We have to work it out with God individually. Just you and the Lord. Mary had to work it out at the tomb, just she and the Lord. Disciples didn't help her. No one helped her. But she's got it all worked out. God's word is summed up in one thing. And if you're going to see a move of God in your life, it's called word steadfastness. We've got to stay steadfast, immovable. Because we got to stay there until Jesus comes. Part of that time, we'll be seeing miracles. We're going to see little miracles long. But the big miracles, the ones we're counting on, might not be just coming instantly. So that's where we have to stay steadfast. We have to keep trusting. We can't back off. You and I as an individual and as a church body are putting pressure on the kingdom of darkness. And that's why Satan is hitting us so unmerciful. Because we're doing something. He's not bothering the person too much that is out living in the world. That guy's already under his control. But you as a Christian must realize you're a threat to Satan's kingdom because you might accidentally lead somebody to Jesus. And he knows that. And it should be like Jerry Savelle says, the siren should go off in hell when I wake up in the morning. I've thought about that. Does the sirens go off in hell when you wake up? Are you doing anything for Christ? Be honest with yourself. get fired up and say, God, I want everything that you got for me, Lord. See? And then the miracles come. This little gutsy woman did that. And she did it. It meant business. She said, you tell me where you're taking him, and I'll carry him away. Are we willing to pay the price? This is our station day. Don't back off and don't go home. Stick in there, and we win. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're going to stick in there. We're going to win, Father, because your word promises us that we will win because you've made us winners. It's not in our ability, but it's your love to us that you have given us the good life here on this earth. You have given us kingdom living. It's available to us. In the Lord's Prayer, you said to us, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If it's not available, then you wouldn't ask us to pray and ask for it. And so, Father, kingdom living is righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you that we can have the righteous, peace, and joy. Because, Father, you're going to say to us each and every day of our life, Mary, John, David, and Colby. Colby, I love you, Guy. I love you, Mary. I love you, Joe. I love you, Sue. And I know, Father, that you're going to not leave us or forsake us. That you designed us for this very particular time in history, that you're going to give us the power and authority to walk over the enemy. We're not going to go under the enemy, but we're going to walk over him, both spiritually and physically and mentally in every way. And as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So, Father, every one of these people are in my house. You said when we give up fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters for my sake, you shall inherit mothers, brothers, sisters on this earth. And so, Father, we thank you that all these are my brothers and sisters in Christ and sons and daughters. And so, Father, we thank that we're going to be equipped today. We're going to be, this thing's going to burn down in our hearts, and we're going to understand that you love Mary Magdalene enough that you gave her a special audience with Jesus. And so, Father, today we're going to have a special audience with you. And we're going to understand your love and your goodness leads us to repentance, Father. And you're never in evil. You're never do evil. Satan's not your whipping boy. Father, we thank you for that. We thank that you don't have to put evil on us to get us attention. We thank that your love and your mercy and your kindness and your word leads us into your fullness. And so, Father, we thank you that perfect love casts out all fear today. And we're not going to be in fear. We're not going to have problems, Father, because your love casts it all out. And so, Father, we ask you just to reveal your love to us this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we stand at your feet, and if there's someone here that has never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, I encourage you to do so today, because all the power of heaven is wrapped up in that. Because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing, but with Jesus, all things are possible. Everything is possible. Okay. Sure. Praise God.
Monday I was sick, and after I got Rodney and Melanie off to work in preschool, I went back to bed for an hour, and my 8.5-year-old got up and decided that the ice on the swimming pool was thick enough that she could skate across the swimming pool, and she made it across, and no one would have known if she hadn't. And I know that angels held her up because the ice was not that thick. So I just appreciate all the prayers for our family, because they're still paying off, and you know, Jill and I were still asleep, and Heather would have died, and she's fine. But I have no doubt that somebody was holding her up besides that ice.
Amen. Praise.
Oh, and also God was helping us to get out of debt, to have no debt, and have our home paid for. And again this year, he did the same as last year. And by the end of 97, our house will be completely paid off at the rate he's going. And some of the money, I didn't even know it was there. And I got the statement. I looked at it. I said, I don't know where this came from. They must have made a mistake. But God was just bringing money in.
Amen.
So I just want to give the praise to God.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. By herself made a decision that her house would be paid off. And her husband wasn't even knowledgeable of it, of her decision. And sure enough, God is honoring it. And so she finally went to him and told him, and she said, I've been praying that we'd get our house paid off. And he said, well, I've noticed the money's really been coming in awful fast. God has a way, folks. You ladies, don't give up just because your old husband's kind of dragging his feet. Keep on, because that's why I want you to be encouraged today, because God is no respecter of people. He will deliver you, he'll set you free, he will cause you to see him, he'll do miracles in your life. Is there someone here that would want to come down and join Living Word Church? Praise God, hallelujah, glory. Amen.